one more hymn, and if you don't mind, just remain standing. If you want to take your seat, feel free to do that. But we'll sing "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came Into My Heart."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If anybody feels tired, you're not compelled to stand. If you want to stand, that'll be good. Just sometimes you need to take a deeper breath. you need to fill your lungs for this one. Praise God.
Into my heart.
Praise the Lord. It's great to be saved, isn't it? You may have seen it. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one. And we greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Want to thank everyone for your prayers. For Mark, Nigel, Alvin, Catherine, and all the family, all the grandchildren and everything, and continue to pray for the family. Just continue to keep them in your prayers, and God will give them strength and comfort. Amen. And it's good to see Brother Laurie here this morning. God bless you, brother. Good to see your brother. We certainly will miss our sister Eileen, but we know she's in a better place. And we just thank the Lord for her testimony. And so many people at the funeral, that I never was at a funeral where I talked to as many people afterwards as this funeral. So many people who want to talk. Some of them about spiritual things. And there's one man I know, and he's a neighbour of John's here. His wife was a saved woman, and I know his daughter was a real Christian woman as well, and he wanted to talk to me, and he says, don't get me wrong, Tom, he says, I'm not a church-going man myself, but he says, I really enjoyed what was said, so God can save him. That's the main thing. If somebody gets saved, that is the main thing, praise God. And there'll be others, you know. A funeral's like anything. It's a bit like a wedding. When you go to the wedding or a funeral and you preach the gospel, you're going to have people that'll hate you. They will hate you. I know that. Really hate you. And they'll ridicule you. And you'll have other people love you. And what can you do about it? And but at the end of the day, whether they hate it or loved it, the main thing is if somebody gets saved, that's all that matters. Amen. Not important, all them other things. The more important thing is that somebody will get saved, isn't that right? That's the important thing, praise God. I had a great chat with wee Alexander. I lived round near John's here. I don't really know the man, but I had a real good chat with him. He was telling me when him and his sister got saved. Alexander Martin, I think you call him. And he says he remembers my dad, and he says he remembers my dad coming. And I don't know how he remembers my dad, really, because he's his age, my dad's age. But anyhow, he remembers my dad. He must have been a brave young lad when my dad came round to his house. But he says my dad used to put his hand on the side of the mill, and he just flipped himself up onto the top of her. He was that fit. And then he says he could have put his hand on the wing of the major tractor and he swung right round over the top of her. And he was telling me all these movements my dad was fit to do. And I said, I'd well believe it. I'd well believe it. I could just picture it myself. But it's great to have them memories, isn't it? Great, you know, all the different memories and stuff. And our sister Eileen's left us great memories and great testimony. And we really appreciate that, you know. And let us turn to the Word of God this morning. And I just want to talk a wee bit about heaven. There's several things I wanted to share. And a bit of been praying. And this is just some scriptures about heaven. And some things about it. And tonight, do remember Brother Gary's preaching for Billy in Ava Street tonight, Belfast. Pray for Brother Gary, and we'll be here tonight. The Lord willing, I want to preach on God's last train to heaven. Come along tonight. If you've somebody not saved, bring them tonight. Eileen was on the right train, but you could miss it. And I know we have heard testimonies of people that's got saved on their last dying week or breath. And we thank the Lord for that. But there's people that they think they'll do that, but they might not get the chance to do that. You know, Brother Ron Borthwick, he's all knew him, he was a minister, he was saved. Ron Borthwick pulled up to the traffic lights and in a moment he was gone. His wife thought he'd fell asleep, but he'd went on to glory. He was dead. And some people might plan, they'll get saved on their deathbed, but they might not get the chance. It could go quicker than they ever imagined. And they mightn't get the chance. So it's good to get saved when you're able to get saved. And I'll tell you another thing too. You need to give God your life when you're young. Serve the Lord when you're young. Do you think nothing of God that you'll just give him your dying breath, you know? And it's great. But we want to serve the Lord when we're young, don't we? We want to give him our lives when we're young, praise God. And I do believe, please don't misunderstand me, I believe there's people get saved on the deathbed and they're saved. I believe that. But I'm just saying others think they'll do it and you don't know if they'll get the chance to do it or not. Let's stand while we read Revelation 21, four verses. Revelation 21 this morning, praise God. Revelation 21, four verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Let's bow our heads, and if you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord, and you pray for me as well, praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each and every one of us. Lord, we know the greatest thing that ever happened in this earth was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that left the glory and splendor of heaven above, took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, for Calvary and for the lovely person of the Lord Jesus. Lord, will you accept of our praise and worship this morning? And Father, will you move by the Holy Spirit in this room? And for the hands raised, will you meet needs and touch hearts and lives and answer prayer in Jesus' precious name? Pray for Nigel, for Mark, for Oliver, for Catherine, and all the sons and daughters, grandchildren, grandsons and daughters, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. Lord, for strength and comfort today and the days that lay ahead. Lord Jesus, I pray for this service this morning. I do take the Holy Spirit to help me right now. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your help. For help cometh from the Lord. Father, meet every need. If thou wouldst tarry till tonight, pray you'll be with Brother Gary in a special way and bless him and strengthen him and give them the words to speak, Lord, I pray, and save souls in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Yes, may be seated. Praise the Lord. The dictionary says heaven is the abode of God. And the Bible verifies this definition in almost every single book of the Old Testament. It talks about heaven. Now, I was going to preach about three heavens, but I felt to come in this first. There's so many things you can preach about heaven. You know why? There's an old brother and fellow rings me now and again. He rang me and he says, you need to preach about hell. You need to preach about hell. And that's good, but the Bible talks more about heaven than hell. And I think sometimes we need to preach about heaven. And I think it's important to preach as much about heaven as it is about hell. Because we're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. And if you're saved, you don't need to know about hell. You need to know about heaven. Heaven's no concern to you. You're not going to it. It's a concern to the unsaved. But to you that are saved, you're going to heaven. Now we know there's a three heavens, and I'm not going to really preach the three heavens. You could say the heaven above, and then there's the heaven between that. But Paul was caught up, he said, he knew such the one caught up to the third heaven. And we know that William Branham lay back in his bed, and he says that his wife was fast asleep and he couldn't explain it. And he had an experience beyond the curtain of time. And he saw people. And he said that there's a young woman ran up and hugged him and said, "My precious brother, Branham, my precious brother." And he said he had no emotion. That's what you would have here on earth. And she says, "Do you not remember me?" And he says, "No." And she says, "I was over 90 years of age when you led me to the Lord. I was over 90 years of age." But she was turned back to the young woman. And you can read it, the wee message beyond the curtain of time. It's a tremendous wee message. I would encourage you to read it and get it. And it's a real help when thinking about heaven. Heaven is mentioned as the abode of God. Nehemiah 9:13, "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and speakest with them from heaven. And gave us them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments." So the Lord speaks from heaven. We know that Moses' instructions for the tabernacle never come out of a Bible college. They come out of heaven. That's why every single aspect of the tabernacle is scriptural and it's about Christ. It come out of heaven. You could take anything that man's done, and a lot of it could be good and a lot of it could be just wrong. But when you take the stuff that comes from heaven, you won't find anything wrong with it. But it come from heaven. David recognized the existence of heaven in Psalms 14 verse 2. "And the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." Psalms 102 verse 19. "For he hath looked down from the height of a sanctuary, from heaven did the Lord behold the earth." I tell you, God's in heaven. I want to say this morning, that's why heaven is so wonderful. I'm not just talking about the blue skies here, what we call heaven. I'm talking about the actual heaven. That's the abode of God. Heaven. And that's why heaven is so wonderful. And there's no sin in heaven. And there's no sickness in heaven. And you won't enter heaven in a flesh and blood body that you're in here this morning. You will be changed before you enter heaven. For the Bible says this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And this mortal shall put on immortality. This is a doctrine that's been taught to every true Christian. And it must be taught that there's a heaven to gain. There's a heaven to gain. And when we go to the New Testament and see the words of the Lord Jesus himself, he preached the doctrine of heaven. Jesus preached about heaven. Now, I know people have an idea, preach hell, preach hell, preach hell. But if you were to check how Jesus preached, again, heaven and hell, I know he talked about it. But you see, you can have an idea how you're to preach. But we want to preach the way the Lord wants us to preach, not some organization. It's good to warn people about hell. But like I've said, when you're saved, you don't need to know nothing about hell. You need to know about heaven. You're not going down. You're going up. You're going up. Heaven verifies the words of the Old Testament regarding the teaching of heaven. There's no doctrine more clearly taught by the Lord Jesus than the doctrine of heaven. Matthew 6:19-20. "Laying up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust is corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I was in Newton Orange at a job on Friday. And there's a big fella there. And he likes cars and things. And he's a pound or two about him. He's a shed full of boys' toys, as they talk about. And he bought a Jeep recently and he brought it to work and he showed us the Jeep and it was a beautiful Jeep. Beautiful Jeep. And it wasn't beautiful enough. He got more things done. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just telling you. And he spent a lot of money on it. And there he rushed out. He got in his van. He was rushing out. And I said to him, what's up? And he says, somebody stole my Jeep. And I says to myself, boy, I don't know how they stole his Jeep, because he'd have that thing under lock and key. But you see, somebody's been around and seen it. And they've stolen it. Stole his Jeep. Now the same man I'm telling you about, I'm going to tell you another thing about him. He sent me a picture 2 weeks ago of a book of Leslie Hale. And he sent me this picture of a book, Leslie Hale's Testimony. And I don't know if you know Leslie Hale's testimony, but Leslie Hale was the biggest drunk in Belfast. Not right, Brother Laurie? Leslie Hale was a drunkard. God saved him. And I sent him back a message and I says, that's Leslie Hale you're talking about. And he was surprised I knew. And I says, oh, what? I says, he was a powerful man of God. And he was going to bring me the book in, but the thing is, he needs to read it. He needs it. And he knows all about the things of God, and he's asking questions about the rapture and all these things. But here he perfectly fits this scripture. He can have a barn full of the boys' toys, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if he's not saved, them boys' toys will be left here. And he won't be going up, he'll be going down. He won't be going to heaven. It's not a terrible thing, but it's terribly true. The Bible tells us, lay not up for yourselves, but lay up treasures in heaven. People put more of an importance on this earthly goods than they do on the heavenly goods. And doesn't the Lord Jesus talk about the women, that one of them was so worried about doing this and that, but the other one was at his feet. One of them was busybodying, but the other one was at the Lord's feet. And I tell you, we can be too busy, but we need to be at the Lord's feet. Moth and rust of the crop for thieves. Break through or steal. Matthew 6:9. After this manner also pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father is not the Pope of Rome on the throne over here. But our Father is higher than the heavens. For he's in heaven itself. And we're to pray, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. He's in heaven. We've somebody in heaven representing us. Not only is our Father in heaven representing us, but the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the majesty in high. And he makes intercession for us. We have somebody in heaven praying for us. What do you think of that? That's a scriptural fact. That's a doctrinal truth. Somebody praying for us from heaven. Our help cometh from the Lord from heaven. Luke 10:20 says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subjects unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Maybe somebody won't shake your hands here, pat you in the back and say you're doing a good job. They might not. They might not. But you have a reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which went before. Heaven is mentioned many times in the New Testament. It's also spoken of a place, a definite location, an abode for God and his saints. Now I want to say, firstly, heaven's a place. Some people, many people, don't know the absolute scriptural truth when they consider heaven, state of the mind. Some people think it's just a saying. Heaven's just a saying. It's not real. But I want to tell you this morning that heaven is a real place. There is a real place called heaven. It's not just a saying. It's not just a thought. But there is a real place called heaven. Some think it's a state of existence for the righteous dead. Jesus himself clearly shows us it's a definite place. This is the doctrine of Christ. This is not the doctrine of the Baptist or the Elam or the Message movement or any of them things. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 12. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now it doesn't say rooms. Now I know there's a lot of Bibles says rooms. But we know the King James Bible says mansions. Not interested in a wee room, Brother Laurie. I'm wanting a mansion. And that's why I like the song, I have a mansion just over the hillside. Hallelujah! A mansion. I tell you, I have a mansion waiting on me. I've got a wee room. I have a wee room at home. And a study in. When I tell you I get to heaven, I won't be poking about you in a wee square room that I can put my hands out and touch the two walls. Nonsense. I'll have a mansion. Been walking around it for years. It's the type of place I'm going to. Hallelujah. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is not the words of a preacher or a prophet. This is prophet and king. Hallelujah, these are the words of the Lord. This is Jesus saying, I will come again and receive you unto myself. This is the Lord. That where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to heaven. Tom, you're going to heaven, I am. For the Lord's promised me. Has he? He has. And he's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man. And he needs to repent. His words are yea and amen. They're line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little, so is the word of the Lord. Jesus has clearly said himself, heaven is a place prepared, a place prepared by his own mighty hands. A place. And the Lord's been almost 2,000 years preparing a place. Want to tell you as well, it will be a place of beauty. How do you know? Revelations 21, 18 to 21. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like on the clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second foundation, sapphire, the third, I can't even pronounce it, chladone, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth. Can't say that one. You'll have to try and work that out yourselves. The 11th, jinx, the 12th. I can't say it either. But I'm telling you what, these are some names. These are pearls. Huh? There's not one jewelry store in the whole of the world can beat this one we're going to. And I'll tell you, there's not a woman in here. If I took you now to the jewelry and you seen the lovely jewels and pearls, wouldn't you love one? And if you sisters look at me and tell me it wouldn't, I'm going to have a chat with you afterwards, because I'm sure you would. Like a nice stone. It's nothing like a ring with a nice stone in it. Sure there's not. See that woman of mine smiling down the back? I'm going to get myself in trouble now, Ruth. My goodness, none of them. Look at that voice. You need money. You need money for stuff like that. But it's all there in heaven. You'll not need one penny. The Lord's, it's all the Lord's. It's for his people. And I tell you, the Lord himself's putting a crown on us. A crown. The brow that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. And we're going to receive a crown which the righteous judge himself will give us. John the Revelator is describing the city he had seen in the best words he can. I'm sure it was difficult to adequately describe it. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love him. Jack Cole stood at a jewelry store and he looked in and he started praising God. And the man came by and he says, boy, you're happy. He says, no. He says, you must have spotted a powerful diamond in there. And he says, no, I'm thinking of a better one than I've seen in there. And he started describing heaven. And the fellow went, And he kept on walking. He thought Cole's head had went. He was thinking of heaven. Golden heaven. Don't worry about gold down here. There's gold for where we're going. There's beautiful stones for where we're going. Beautiful streets for where we're going. It will be a place of joy. Heaven will be a place of joy. We read in our text at the start that the Lord will wipe away every tear. There'll be joy in heaven. Hallelujah. No more sorrow in heaven. All joy. Isn't that great? And it's great to have joy. You can have joy at times, but there's other times of sorrow. And I'm here today and I could have joy, but I don't know what could happen between the end of the week. I could have sorrow. Because we're still here. But when you get to heaven, it's joy the whole road. Joy the whole way. An eternity of joy. Hallelujah. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Tears, death, sorrow, pain come upon every on the human race because of one man's sin. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. One man caused it, but there's another man brought us out of it. One man brought us pain and suffering and thorns and thistles and rain. And I'm starting to not like the rain. Boy, I don't like the rain. I want some African sunshine, Brother Laura. Praise God, we need sunshine. You know, that's why people get a bit down on themselves. If you get the sun, it lifts you a bit. There's vitamins in it. But we're going to a place where there's a constant sun shining. You'll want that vitamin, as it were, all the time. But God, through the ages, has been executing his plan of complete redemption of the race. And heaven will be the commencement day of the saints of God. It is not the end of life for the real true Christian, but the beginning of days, heaven. Because of the absence of the things that make sad, there will be a burning joy, unlimited glory and pleasure in heaven. Revelation 21:26. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. Everlasting joy. Isaiah 35:10, just to get you these words. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with the songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. This is a song. You can say this is about Israel, but this is also spiritual. This is about heaven. You know, when you ever heard the saying, bring down your harps to the willow trees? You know, them Jews were persecuted for hundreds of years. But God gave them a promise. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you out. And God done it. But this is also something even greater than bringing them out of Egypt. This is for every true child of God. We're going to be brought out of this world. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God above. We're going to have joy. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sin shall flee away. In this life we are born crying, most die sighing. And that's true. And there's little of permanent joy in this life, but joy and gladness will be entered in heaven. No moments of discouragement or depression, but righteous bliss throughout the endless ages in eternity. There's another thing about heaven. There's everlasting light. Here, if you give it to 5 o'clock, depending on the weather, it could be earlier. And I know the year turns, but even when it turns, we have still darkness. But we're going to a place of eternal light. Light. Isaiah 60, verse 20. And the sun shall no more go down, neither shall the moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy morning shall be ended. No night at all. What do you think of that? Oh, but will it get tired? No, you'll never tire. You'll never tire in heaven. You'll never have a weary day. You'll never tire. You'll not be getting up thinking, worrying about this and paying that and doing this and doing that. All that will be gone when you're in heaven. And it'll be one glorious sunshine. Isn't that great? Now, I guarantee you there's nobody in here that doesn't like a bit of sunshine. Isn't sunshine great? Revelation 21:23 says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb. I tell you, he's the light. You know, there's another thing, and I haven't marked it here, but it's true. There's leaves on a tree over in heaven for the healing of the nations. The leaves. It's not suffered. The light of the sun is the source of all life on this earth. Without light, there could be no life. Christ, the light of the world, is the source of all spiritual light. And the sun gives light naturally, but there's a greater sun. And he's the source of all light. John 8:12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we have light in us while we're here, and the light within us is the Lord Jesus. And when we get saved, we get lit up. But there's a light when we go to heaven. There'll be no darkness, an eternal light. Christ is the source of all spiritual life. Will be our light throughout eternity. No more shadows. No more shadows. I want you to think of that for a moment. No more shadows. No more dark valleys. No more loneliness in the night. But we'll have the presence of the Son of Righteousness throughout all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? That's what heaven is. Tell you another thing about heaven. It's everlasting salvation. It's not salvation for a week or a month. It's everlasting salvation. Isaiah 45:17 says, but Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Everlasting. I tell you, Israel is going to be saved with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Everlasting life. I tell you, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. Thank God for this morning. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but then it also tells us the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have eternal life this morning. I'm finished. I have my message preached this morning. Heaven. I want to encourage you. Maybe tonight's message is a bit longer, but I want us to come for a while this morning and worship. Thank the Lord that we're going to heaven. I want everyone to thank those that's went on, that were saved. They're in a better place. A far better, not just a better place. They're in a far, far better place. And we're going to see them again because we're saved. Now, I know I made a statement at the funeral. And my wife mentioned it to me this morning. And I said, if you want to see Sister Riling again, you'll have to be saved. I believe that with all my heart. We have loved ones that went on and they're right with God and they're saved. And I know that we know deeper truths of the Bible in the sense of there's the foolish virgin and there's the wise. We know them things. But I'll tell you, if you just get into heaven, if you have a loved one this morning and they just make it into heaven, they're saved from hell for all eternity. It's down to God what group they're going to be in. We can't sort that out. The preacher doesn't sort that out by the preaching his doctrine. Some of them might think they do, but they're wrong. It's God that does the predestinating. It's God that foreordained it. It's God that chooses. But I'll tell you, if you're a loved one and they just get saved, and they just get in through the doors at work, they're saved. They're not lost. They'll never be in hell. If they've called upon the name of the Lord, they're saved. That's the most important thing, that they're saved. And I pray that God will speak to somebody and they'll get saved. They'll get saved. Let's bow our heads this morning, and I'm going to pray, and Brother Gary's going to come and lead us in a few songs this morning, just whatever he feels led, just for a few moments. Maybe if you want special prayer, I'm not asking you for anything, somebody here this morning, lift your hand to the Lord and I'm going to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the hands raised. You know the very secrets and intents of the heart. Lord, I know there's nothing too difficult for you. Father, I'm asking you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for my brother and sister, Lord, with the hands raised especially, you know the need and you know every situation, that you'll meet the need, that you'll answer the prayer. Lord, there's many of us here with loved ones still not saved. And they heard the gospel again another time. Father, we just ask that the Holy Spirit will work on them and move on them and speak with them and strive with them, that they'll be in that beautiful place called heaven. Father, grant it, I pray. Lord, I'm asking for my own children and every child representative of this meeting house. Every son and every daughter, every niece, every nephew, every husband, every wife, and relations. Lord, we're claiming every single one of them. All of them. We're claiming that they've been in heaven. We've cleaned the blood of Jesus over them. We ask for their souls to be saved, that the Holy Spirit will go to working upon them and speak a word into their innermost being and bring them out of the darkness into the light. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth, we pray, and grant them the saving grace in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless everyone in this house, from the youngest to the oldest. Lord, I pray for the backsliding. For the backslider, Lord, that you restore them, that you renew them. Father, that your hand of mercy will be upon them. We pray for Brother George and Winifred this morning, but with the both of them. And move especially in George, we pray. Oh God, touch him. Touch him, Lord. Hear our prayer. Answer, Lord, we pray, for we're asking in Jesus' precious name. And my own sister, give her the strength and grace. Bring her back to the house of God and move in her life, move in her husband, save him. He's heard the gospel again. But oh God, we pray you'll stir him. You'll move him till he'll get saved. Granted, Lord, we pray, and have your way amongst us now. So we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you direct our paths. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless you as our brother Gary comes. And just to say, because I meant to say it at the start and I knew I'd forget it. Sister Carl will be here one more Sunday. And David. And then they're off to New Zealand. But Carl's coming back. She can't leave old Ireland. Ulster. She's coming back. She's not going now. So that's good, isn't it? But Dave, he's going. And Dave's a young man and his whole life in front of him. And I'll tell you, I'm praying. I'm going to pray God's going to move on David when he gets to New Zealand. They need preachers over there, boy. Now I'll tell you, God can get a young fella like you started. And that's what's needed. There's some good men there, but they're getting old. We need youth coming up. And I'll tell you, God can do it. God can do it, David. You need to be watching him, telling you, boy, he's going to be.
We'll try to sing that hymn, "Oh, the love that sought me, oh, the love that bought me, wonderful love that brought me to his throat." I'm not sure if I can play it, but well, I'm sure Alva has the music for that one. I'm not sure just how it starts off. What's the first verse, Matthew, if you can get it up first of all. "In tenderness he sought me, very in second sin." I'll visit him. I'll give it a go. "In tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin. And on his shoulder brought me back to his throne and now. While angels in his presence sang on the chords of we Sing, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace in those mansions bright and blessed. Praise God, not the rooms, in the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place.
Sing.